You would turn in your Bibles this evening to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We left off with verse 11 last week. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Last week we brought out how Paul was a burdened minister who prayed continually for God's people, and by extension how important it is for us to pray for one another. It's part of the whole armor of God. After you put on each piece of the armor, Paul said to pray with prayer, all prayer and supplication for one another and for him and for ministers of God, that they would be given boldness to preach and practice the truth of the Word of God. Now tonight we're going to get more into the substance of the prayer, and the substance is that God would enable them to walk worthy of their holy calling. They had been set apart by the effectual call of God to live a life that was dedicated to God. If you're saved here tonight, that's the story of your life from henceforth. You've been called with a powerful, invincible call that has brought you out of darkness into God's marvelous light, and you are to live for Him, to walk in Christ, abide in Christ, and walk worthy of that holy calling whereby you've been called. You see, God had gone to great lengths to make them worthy of this calling. God had poured out the riches of His sovereign grace upon them. The Lord Jesus had given His life and shed His precious blood to make them worthy, so that they could stand complete in Him, accepted in the Beloved. When you consider that, you have a responsibility to walk worthy of the Lord. Paul is reminding them, "I am praying this for you. I'm not praying that you'll have every material desire that you want. No, I'm praying for something far more powerful, and that is a walk that glorifies God. In light of such sacrificial love, the saints of God ought to walk worthy of their effectual call to grace and glory." Now, what does a worthy walk really consist of? And I'm just going to give you this in a... we could do an entire study on this subject. But a worthy walk involves walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And how do you know that you're walking in the Spirit? You are obeying what the Spirit has inspired in the Word of God. You see it as being profitable for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof. You understand that the Word of God corrects you in this worthy walk, and you're willing to be corrected. So you've got to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As you walk in the Spirit, you have to be dedicated, this worthy walk, that it involves guidance to be obedient to the Word of God. It's how we prove our love. If we love the Lord, we're going to do what He wants us to do. We're going to obey what He says to do. I mean, your children, one of the greatest displays of their love for you is when they do right. And it brings joy to your heart, like the writer of Proverbs said. And our goal every day ought to be, Lord, help me to do what pleases You. I want to make You joyful in my life. And you know, a worthy walk also involves humility and self-denial with a sincere and cheerful submission to the will of God, regardless of the cost. And I'm going to tell you something. I just said a mouthful, and it's hard to practice. It's a difficult thing to bring yourself under the rod of God when He uses it for correction and for guidance and says, He taps you with the rod. Hey, you need to be attentive to what I'm doing in your life. And it may be chastening. We need to hear Him. We need to say, Lord, whatever it takes for me to walk worthily of Your holy name, of Your holy calling, I am willing. I am ready. Do with me as You will. This is a worthy walk. A worthy walk is one of faith, where you take God at His word. Most people live by sight. They live by what they can taste or see or feel. And we're called to a much higher life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You can't make sense of everything that happens in your life, but God can. And you've got to trust Him with everything. And it takes faith and obedience and patience and love. And this worthy walk also involves a growth in grace and holiness. My prayer for you is that you don't stay stagnant, that you are not satisfied with the status quo or with mediocrity or just measuring up to somebody else. I want us to be conformed to Christ, to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, that God would make us more holy, have a greater desire for purity and virtue, and living every day with a thankful, gracious spirit, acknowledging God, acknowledging His provisions, acknowledging our need of His power in our life. That's a worthy walk that pleases God. Though the request that they walk worthy of their calling be a brief one, it is the essence of the Christian life. To walk worthy of our calling, we must be committed to following the holy example of the Lord Jesus Christ and applying His life to ours. That's our standard. Not a preacher, not a pope. No, not to another. No, Christ. He is our standard. Let's pursue conformity to Him. Let's delight ourselves in His image and pray that God would make us more like Him. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. I've quoted this many times, but it really is the essence of a worthy walk. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Are you walking like Jesus? In humility? In complete submission to the will of the Father? With a desire to glorify him in your words, in your actions, in the way you conduct yourself, the way you live your life, in your home, at the workplace, in the Lord's church, out in society? How are we walking tonight? And then Paul desired that God would enable them to enjoy the goodness of God as they lived and walked by faith and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. You know, spiritual desires are manifested by good works. And as we experience the goodness of God, and all you have to do is just, it shouldn't take you long to reflect upon how good, how gracious God has been to you. Not just in saving you, not just the circumstances that he put you in, but today. Consider how good God has been to you today. Right now there's a phrase that's going around that's real popular. And they're good phrases, but I wonder how many people really actually believe it. The phrase is, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Now, a lot of people say that. I wonder how many really think about it. I got up today and I started thanking God for everything. As I went about my studies, my prayer, my breakfast, my everything, as I was thanking God for the toothpaste that he gave me, and the grace that I had to make my breath smell better. Now you say, that's silly. No, it's not. Ask Tammy. She's happy for it. But God's good in so many ways. And we often just take everything for granted. As we walk by faith, we need to thank God for his goodness. It ought to motivate us to do that which is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 37, 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All that we would walk by faith in obedience, and that we would live in such a way that we're cognizant every day of the goodness of God operating in our lives. God loves to bless his children as he sees them delighting in what pleases him. He's a good father. He's a loving father. And God is so generous and gracious to his children as he daily loads them with benefits. When we walk in God's ways, we can rest assured that he'll bless us in the way and on our way to heaven. Now, so many people take the charismatics today, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel people, they all take this to mean material things. I don't think that's nearly what the Bible's talking about. He does say, give us this day our daily bread, that we ought to pray about that. But really, I believe there's so much more depth to spiritual power and grace to live the Christian life. More emphasis on what God, the benefits that he gives us spiritually, to be aware of his grace, to be in tune with him, to be in communion with him, to love what he loves and hate what he hates. Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." What a glorious thought. To have Christ's joy in us in all of its fullness. What a powerful way to live. To every day be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To exhibit that joy through the fiercest trials, the most difficult circumstances, things that are against us, and yet to be able to have that inward spring of joy, to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." That's spiritual power. Paul also wanted these dear saints at Thessalonica to experience the power of God in their walk of faith. And the work of faith with power. This is something that's missing in modern day Christianity. Most churches are dead. Most Christians, that professing Christians, are going through the motions. We need to be energized by the power of God. From beginning to end, salvation is a demonstration of God's mighty power. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Oh, that the power of God would be on our lives and in our lives in such a way that others see that Christ is in us of a truth. May God open our eyes to see how He's working, how He's preserving, how He's providing, how He is empowering us in our daily walk. Faith in God, knowledge of His will, dependence upon His power will make us fruitful in every good work, and that ought to be the desire. To bring forth fruit unto God. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, we read this last week. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." See, everything is geared toward you knowing more of Him, delighting in Him, understanding what He's doing in your life for you to bring glory to His name. Now, in light of their present circumstances, Paul was praying for their spiritual well-being and their ability to carry on for Christ. Because it gets tough. And I can't imagine what it must have been like to be a first century Christian when you had all the heathen religions against you, threatening you. You had the secular government threatening you. Many of the men would lose work opportunities when they were found out that they were believers and followers of Jesus Christ. It was real. And yet God was upholding them. Connie filled up a bunch of water. Probably straight from East Palestine. The ultimate purpose, verse 12, "that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is the ultimate purpose of the prayer that's revealed here in verse 12, specifically that the saints of God would glorify the name of Christ by the way they live their lives, according to God's enabling power. The very purpose of the existence of a believer in this world is to glorify Christ. If you do that, you're the greatest success. That is the apex of the Christian experience. To love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, to abide in Christ, to walk in His ways, to joy in God, to display the grace of God in everyday situations, and to glorify the name of the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. If we are to glorify Christ, then our lives must be a consistent demonstration of His life, grace, and power operating within us. Our daily lives should be an example of how God's sustaining grace empowers us to live for Him. Only then are we fulfilling the purpose for which we've been saved. Ephesians 2:7 says, "To show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." This is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians, and it's my prayer for you. May God help us. All be in prayer for those in need. Pray for the Jacksons. Pray that God will just envelop them with His love and His power and His grace. Pray for the broken. Pray for the wayward. Pray for the lost. Oh, that we would be a praying church. Let's all stand.
Page 291.